And welcome back to the last episode of the season, huh? And before... Actually, you know what, Henry? Why don't you tell me what's going to happen in this episode?
Why don't I tell you?
Yeah.
I think there's going to
be... Why don't you introduce the episode?
It's going to be a romp and a riot, for lack of a better term. You're going to hear us talking. You're going to hear us discussing. There will be explorers. There will be season's greetings. It's got it all, folks.
Any specific things?
We're going to discuss how the explorer in question, who I don't know if I'm supposed to reveal this in the intro, probably not, how they're going to end up.
Okay.
And spoiler alert, it could go either way.
All right, and after we expose that Henry doesn't even remember his own bits, let's go into the episode. Hello! And last Christmas I did give you my heart. The very next day I burned you alive.
What the fuck? This is your confession to a crime that you're going to commit later, then I want to say I'm innocent for this, okay? I did not know this was happening.
Well, anyways, people, welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma, where we talk about missing explorers or mysteries with missing people in them, and we come up with the end of their stories.
And yay!
Can I say welcome to the, well, last episode of the year?
Of the fucking season.
No. There's
of the show.
There's still more mysteries, more adventures, more drama to unfold.
Okay.
But it's been a year, huh?
It has been a year.
Honestly, Henry, honestly, are you proud of what we've done here?
I mean, it's definitely not been a year for the show, but...
Well, yeah, but it has been, like, I'm going to be honest, when we started the show...
It's been a solid 3 months,
right? Yeah, it's 3 months now.
What did you think?
Well, I thought it's going to, at some point we will have, like... I definitely believe that there's going to be, you know... That we're going to get at least till this benchmark of 3 months. But I thought there's going to be consistency issues.
Oh, as in like when recording and stuff?
Not recording, because recording has not been consistent, let's be honest.
I mean, in what way? We still did record, like,
yeah,
okay,
no,
not on the
I
exact
thought,
point we agreed to.
I thought it's
going to
be hard for us to upkeep our own deadline for always uploading the same day and there always, you know, being no delays for that.
Oh, yeah, I mean... I didn't think that would be an issue. Like, once we got started, I feel like it was, fine.
I'm just proud of us. I'm telling you, I'm proud of us.
Well, I'm proud of me, too.
You. I'm proud of you, too, Henry. I'm proud of you, too.
No, I'm proud of you, too. But, hey, buddy, it's been a ride, huh?
No, that's for the end of the episode. Leave the tears for
now. Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, wipe my tears dry.
We're recording this literally on the very, 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 very start of December, although this episode is very, 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 very end of December. People have, you know, Christmas has happened, people fat now, good fat, you know, we ate good food, probably.
I don't need to wait for Christmas for that one.
And you know what, in Christmas... No guilt, no nothing. You know, people,
no guilt, no nothing.
If somebody's listening to this episode and they were like, you know, because for the whole year, some people get under their head because I need a figure or not, and then you are on a diet, for the next whatever left days in this year, forget about it. Eat whatever the fuck you want. That's for the next year resolution. Just, I give you free guilt pass.
You make New Year's resolutions, Rudy?
Well, I've been pretty perfect this year. I don't know what better can I do.
So true.
Well, I'm actually pretty curious. Okay, now, because we, as I said, we're recording at the very start of December. Remember, in some of the episode, I don't remember which one, I said maybe in December somebody will start making me believe in love.
Right.
Right, so, I don't know. Has that happened?
Has it?
Well, it's the 3rd of December for us, so we don't know. But maybe by the time this episode comes out...
Oh, you're gonna fall in love by the end of December, is that it?
Hold your horse. Nobody said anything about falling in love, starting to
then
believe
what else
in
is
it.
Believing in love? Because, okay, first of all, you always make the, no, I don't hate love. I hate love for me. Shtick. So, this by this logic, I assume that making you believe in love just means that you are in love.
No, I more meant like, I would be like, you know what? Okay, if something, believing in love is like, You go on about your day, and then there's a prompt, right? I don't know, you see like a cute person, right? And then you're like, you know what? Maybe it's worth a shot.
Oh my god, this is sadness.
But!
You see a cute person, and that's all you need to sway your opinion.
No,
well, maybe
but
it
like,
is worth a shot, huh?
You know what? Shut up. Shut up. I have been such a great wizard. I've been setting up every... By the way, people who listen to this podcast, some of you do listen to this podcast, just ask the girl or the guy out, please. You know what I've told you, everybody who asked for my opinion? Just ask it. If you get rid of the fear of rejection, nothing can stop you. Just do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And as a counterpoint to that, I'll say, don't ask him, people. It's never going to work out. Just sit on your feelings forever.
Well, as today we can see that somebody came out as a Grinch. Congratulations, Henry. We're very supportive of you.
Isn't that our dynamic anyway?
Our dynamic is always that you just piss me off.
Yeah, and for that I am the Grinch.
Bitch. Anyways, after 5 minutes into the episode, let's actually move into the episode!
Grinch!
And, all right. Well... You know what was going to happen. You knew this.
Oh.
You knew in your heart that this is going to happen.
It's Santa Claus, isn't it?
No. And, you know, I'm not going to do fun facts for today's episode. Because
okay.
I just want to, you know, I'm going to leave some more time for us to later talk.
Wait, sorry. Is it a special episode?
It's special to me.
Okay. Just want to know what's in store, you know?
Yeah, so without further ado, our today's hero has had actually many names, but the one that a lot of people know of him is Giovanni Cabotto.
Oh, yes. I thought this was coming at some point, and here it is.
It's the last episode of the year. I had to do it. I just had to.
All right, I'll give it to you, because it's the last one in the year. I'll give it to you.
Exactly. I've been a good boy. I have been a good boy.
You deserve this. You deserve an Italian on your Christmas present.
I definitely do.
Yes, you do.
Right. So, but anyways, there's actually... Because he has... Well, when I say many names... So, okay, let's start from the backstory, and then there's going to be a precipice for that. So, born in Italy, approximately shortly before 1450, because... In this day and era, back then, you know, 15th century, well, it's documents, it's paper and whatnot, but a lot of things do not get noted down, or they do not survive the
yeah, it's a while ago,
time.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah, so, but it is pretty good estimate that he was born shortly before 1450, just because there's many documents that kind of align. And he's the son of Giulio Cabotto and his wife, and he has a brother, Piero.
Piero.
Due to a once ubiquitous European tradition of nativizing names, this guy had many added to his list because he just traveled a lot through Europe throughout his life. So in Italy, he was known as Giovanni Cabotto. In Venice, he was Swan Cabotto. then French called him Jean Cabot. And English called him John Cabot, which, by the way, a lot of people might know this name rather than Giovanni Cabotto because... as you will later find out why, British are taking a lot of credit for his, adventures, let's put it that way.
Right.
Right. Then there's a lot, this guy's pretty famous, has a lot of things talked about, even has statues in the world. So there's a lot to unpack that, and I kind of just, you know, pressed it all together. So it's gonna be just bullet points, basically.
Right.
So in 1471, Caboto was accepted into the religious confraternity of the Scuola Grande San Giovanni Evangelista.
He was a proud little Christian boy.
Well, yeah, back in the day it was one of, you know, religion was still in the high wave. People vibing with that, I don't know. I don't think you have much choice if you wanted to go into anything like, you know, got good diploma. It was always a choice of some Christian school or something.
Are you anti-religion, Rudy?
Yes.
Really?
In 1476, he gained a full Venetian citizenship, which suggests that shortly after this, he started engaging in maritime trade to the eastern Mediterranean. A lot of these, by the way, will be, you know, this year, and then that suggests that this and that happened. Because, as I said before,
it's not actually 100% sure.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so Caboto is mentioned in a variety of Venetian records of the late 1480s, some of which indicate that by 1484 he was married to Matea and had sons named Ludovico, Sebastian, and Sancto.
Sancto?
Yes.
Shame on you, Giovanni, for that name.
Honestly, could have done better, yes.
Yeah, he could have.
And I will remind you, right, we're talking about to be a maritime explorer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some sources claim that in Venice he was involved in house building in the city. So he basically has the makings of a civil engineer.
Ooh.
Which I find interesting for a later on maritime explorer.
Well, he was a man of many trades, I guess.
I guess. I mean, maybe in that, you know, back in that day and age, you kind of have to have a side hustle.
Oh yeah, my main... So,
3 sons, a wife...
Maritime explorer / trader, but you know, as a side job, I do civil engineering.
Then drama occurs, appears to have gotten into financial trouble in the late 1480s. Guess what happened? Guess what he did?
He spent all his money in the Venetian casinos.
No, no, not how he lost his money, what he did with the information that he's now into financial trouble.
He went to the Venetian casinos upon hearing that they exist.
Yeah, no, the boy dipped. Literally left Venice.
Oh.
He left Venice as an insolvent debtor. He was like, I am in debt, bye.
My guy really said, peace out, I'm out. Honestly. Never to be seen again. And this is where we start our speculation.
No. There's, oh, he's going to travel. This is the start. Guess to where he moved to.
Well, France, then, presumably?
No.
All right, I'm out of ideas.
Valencia, Spain. Yeah, where he, at some point, proposed plans for improving the harbor and got rejected.
Civil engineering side hustle shot down, huh? You hate to see it.
You know what? Didn't lose his spirit. Later on, he moved on to Seville, where he proposed and was contracted to build, and for 5 months did build, a construction of a stone bridge over a river.
Well.
Which later on, after 5 months, by city council decision, was abandoned project.
Bruh.
Guess on what date?
On Christmas.
Exactly, 24th of December.
Christmas Eve. They said, let's give this guy a present.
Bye, bridge.
So how far did he get? Or you don't know?
Honestly, I don't know. But I just imagine he was building the bridge. Not like, you know, like people are supposed to from both sides and then just going to the middle. He was just building a bridge, like, and then there's like this like last meter left from one side to the other. And then the guys were like, oh, fuck, stop.
All right, tear it all down again.
And you just imagine this Italian man going, ah, you can fucking, you bad motherfucker.
That was a great Italian impression.
Well, because when Italians don't know what to say, they just start saying, you know, sounds.
Mamma mia. That's all I have.
Yeah. Well, and after this fiasco, he was like, fuck this. Let's go into the maritime. But I need sponsors because I'm in debt in Venice. People in Spain don't give me money to be a civil engineer.
Right.
So, where do you think he sought patronage?
Well, France, under what? England?
Yes. He went to the British crown! Yeah, so Caboto sought financing in the royal patronage in England, in contrast to, for example, Columbus, who was sponsored mainly by the Spanish crown.
Yeah.
Because these are the folks, they both lived in the same era. They whilst Columbus is more famous, our Caboto, Giovanni, has also done a lot throughout that time. It's just kind of, I guess, well, Columbus overshadowed by.
Right, okay.
So anyways, Giovanni planned to depart to the west from a northerly latitude where the longitudes are much closer together and where, as a result, the voyage would be much shorter. Like Columbus, he still expected to find an alternative route to China.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's the story about the how he like looked for the royal patronage. There's like a whole paragraphs about it if you look up the websites, but I was not gonna. There's like drama because he, of course, first of all went to one sponsorship, got turned down. Then he tried to do some, you know, Italian. He found an Italian big boy somewhere in London. He was like, okay, let's go to that one. That one also shut him down, kind of, and then. King at some point was like, okay, now you have the, you know, you can have the money, but then there was, what was it, the Rose Wars, I think, started in England.
Yeah, so the Civil War.
Yeah, so basically there was, he got the money at the end, basically, right?
Right. I mean, can I just say, Columbus also didn't, like, get it in one shot, you know, he was also turned down.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's not, nothing to be ashamed about, Johnny.
Johnny? So yes, after a lot of talking and seeking possible creditors, on March 5th, 1496, Henry VII gave Caboto and his three sons letters patent, which stated, and let me, free authority, faculty, and power to sail all parts, regions, and coasts of the eastern, western, and northern sea, under our banners, flags, and ensigns, with five ships or vessels of whatsoever burden and quality they may be, and with so many in what such mariners and men as they may wish to take with them in the said ships, at their own proper costs and charges, to find, discover, and investigate whatsoever islands, countries, regions, or provinces of heathens and infidels, in whatsoever parts of the world, placed which before this time were unknown to all Christians.
So basically, he got permission to do whatever he wants.
Yes. In short, he's allowed to go on his voyages and just map, you know, like basically go around.
Yeah. Just fuck around. Gosh. Hey, however many people you want, you said, Henry.
Just like a Gargamel going out of the castle, like, you will forget today.
Yeah. Well,
and then he has Google and some other websites, search engines list three main voyages, but it's kind of funny because the first voyage always says little was recorded. Known as the John Day letter, believed to be addressed to Columbus, it said, since your lordship wants information relating to the first voyage, here is what happened. He went with one ship, his crew confused him, he was short of supplies and ran into bad weather, and he decided to turn back. That's all it says. First voyage.
Well, fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, what did we expect?
I mean, you're not gonna, you know, if there's bad weather and shit and you're not prepared properly, then why bother fucking around? Just go back and retry.
Truly. And that was the second trip. The second voyage. I'm looking... Okay, by the way, for the second voyage, if you would like to, it's not mandatory, but you can pull up Google Maps.
Okay. Just continue. I'll do that in the background.
Right. So 1479. Leaving Bristol, the expedition sailed past Ireland. And across the Atlantic, making landfall somewhere on the coast of North America on June 24th, 1497. And did not explore the land, because basically, so, the way the story was described in most of the sources was that he sometimes, you know, made to shore, but he never actually, like, explored past the coastline.
Okay.
He knew about, but did not interact with any natives.
Do you know where, like, on which coastline?
Yeah, so great, like, the most estimates believe that, so he basically, on the outward voyage, he landed somewhere in the Avalon Peninsula.
Oh, boy.
So basically explored the eastern coast of Newfoundland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then from Great Northern Peninsula, he just kind of went back to Brittany and then Bristol on the return voyage.
And they had a quick stop in France.
Yes, yes, I did.
Giovanni wanted to visit the Brest, huh?
maybe.
Sorry.
Missed the Brest.
Well, it is in Brittany, you know.
Yeah, it is. Well then.
Well,
final voyage. And for those who know about this person, I am fully aware, and I'm going to tease this a bit for Henry, there allegedly actually is a resolution these days.
Okay.
But for the purposes of our episode for today, for now, the final voyage. On return to Bristol, Cabot rode to London to report to the king. On 10th of August, he was given the reward of... Oh, by the way, yes, this is pretty funny. Guess how much money they gave him for the Newfoundland exploration.
10 shillings.
10 pounds.
Well?
Which I find... You
wait,
know,
they actually gave him 10?
Yeah, 10 pounds.
Okay.
And I was like, what the fuck? That's nothing, right? 10 pounds, nowadays you can buy, what? A tea and a croissant? And that's it?
Right.
But apparently, I looked it up. Back in the day, that was the equivalent of about 2 years' pay for an ordinary laborer or craftsman.
Damn. Minimum wage has come afar.
Honestly, when you put it in this kind of perspective, 10 pounds! 2 years of labor!
Yeah. Not bad, I guess.
It'd be like that.
Well, the first time he got paid properly. And of course, he went straight back to Venice to pay his debts, right? Because he was such a nice guy. Well.
Also, wait. Ad break. I'm going to edit this out. Henry, move your mic away from your mouth. You're breathing it into... Okay, thanks. We're back.
Okay. Has that been the entire episode already?
No.
Okay, then it's good.
Where was I? Oh yeah, for the next few months he was reported to be... and I wrote this in a very modern way. But this is actually reported. So you got those 10 pounds, right? And he was King's, you know, like, favorite boy, let's put it that way. And for the next few months he literally was reported to be flexing on the local aristocracy, covered in silk, walking through town, and everybody's flocking to him like a madman, basically.
If you get paid for 2 years, you might as well fuck around, right?
Yeah, but then there was some problems. The king was basically... The crown faced threats and whatnot, so king was preoccupied with some other stuff. The bling got a bit lost, but then after that, So he got a pension, basically... He was eligible for a pension for of the sum of £20 per year later on.
Okay.
Because of this voyage. He basically got, you know, because back then it still wasn't a thing, but he basically became as the equivalent of a lord in London.
Right.
London. Yes, England at the time. And at some point, I guess, he was like, you know what? I need new adventures. I don't know, maybe people started forgetting about his bling, about his golden chains. And so, on May 1498, with a fleet of 5 ships, one of which was prepared by the king, he leaves for trade, to God knows where, by the way, because I did not find any records saying where was even the original destination. He just leaves. And we know that one ship was forced to stop in Ireland because he left westwards from Eastern Kingdom.
Right.
Because of storm, one ship was had to stop in Ireland, but it was reported that the 4 remaining ships with Cabot on board moved on. And yeah. So,
He left for
Atlantic
trade?
Ocean, huh?
You said?
Yes, allegedly the ships were packed with silk and trifles and whatnot.
Well, well, well. That can't be a coincidence, though, can it?
Well, enlighten me.
It seems to me that Jonathan, with all the goodies aboard, decided it's time to bail out his family that was still stuck in Venice, presumably. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
Well, the three sons were, you know, they also got the, at some point I said they also got the patent for exploration. I suppose they were traveling with him. He's actually one of the sons, later on was also a established sea explorer.
Interesting. All right. So either way,
assume that they went with him.
All right, either way, Jonathan, sorry, that's me. Giovanni, you know, he built up the trust of the English over the course of a couple years. And then he says, hey, I'm going to take all these goodies and go trading. Hey. And off he goes straight back to Venice in Italy. Not to, like the English have no clue where he pays off his debts and then never returns. Sitting there with one of the king's vessels in the port. You know, not bad. He really pulled a fast one over the English.
It's like I imagine, you know, when you buy somebody a gift, but you try to like get the stuck on price of the gift, so they don't see how much you paid for it. It's the same you did with the ship name, so they don't understand that it's from Britain.
They painted some Italian like name over it.
Viva la vita Italia!
See, they, I mean, with all that silk on board,
I mean,
just going missing, it seems like a shame, you know. That's all I'm saying.
Truly. Well. Well.
Well.
You know what's going to happen.
I know what's going to happen.
Because I know exactly what happened.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. He got caught by the DreamWorks guy.
But oh my god.
Everybody knows the motion pictures of DreamWorks, the guys who made Shrek, How to Train Your Dragon. And if you guys would remember, they have this logo, right, where there's a boy.
Yep.
Well, you can't really tell. A boy sitting on a crescent moon and just fishing from the clouds.
Yeah, a child.
Well, guess what he's shitting? Shitting.
Uh-huh. Italians.
Guess what he's fishing for?
Well, I guess he's fishing for a hot Italian, huh?
Well, it's. I think in the last episode of this year, it's time to come out. I am that boy.
Brr! You are a mythological creature.
You know, I go on my walks late at night, and I say I talk to the moon. I actually just take my ladder. That's like my magic ladder that comes out of my pocket.
Right.
And then I just climb to the moon and I fish for Italians.
Damn. And some American company was so enchanted by that idea that they made you into a logo.
Side rant, they changed the logo recently.
They did?
Like the logo is still the same, but the animation is now not like they updated it. But I don't know.
This is
I don't
fucked
like
up.
It. Honestly, it's fucked
Are
up.
You getting royalties for this?
I better be.
Yeah, you
I
better
take my royalties as Italian.
They're using your image for their profit.
Yeah. I mean, I already told them I don't need money. Just give me an Italian.
I like that in this story. So, did you catch him then? What happened?
Oh, well, I caught him. All right.
Your hook
I
hit the
him.
Ship, created a hole, and sunk him.
Well, I mean. What can I say? When your stuff is too big for some holes.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, let's wrap it up right here. I think we've had enough.
No, honestly, you know what else could have happened? Maybe he did find the route to China.
Yeah, maybe he accidentally found the Northwest Passage, went through and made it to China, huh?
And he didn't even notice. You know, dressed in all silk, no winter clothes. Northwest Passage. He was like, you know, today's a bit chilly, but, you know, let's keep going. And then, oh my God, what are these folk? And then, well, it was the Chinese. And he ended up with the silk and golden chains in Macau.
Right. And that's actually how the Silk Road got created, because he wanted to go home and he had so much silk. He used it to, like, you know, like Hansel and Gretel, to have a trace back. He tore off pieces of silk as he walked back to England.
I mean, that's the origin story of Silk Road. You heard it for the first, lads.
There you go. It was just a cheeky Italian.
And then, at some point, the Venetians were like, holy shit, is this the dude who's, like, so in debt to his fucking ears? Let's go find him. And he was like, no. I have enough money, let's build a wall. So that's the origin story of the Chinese wall. And just to make sure, around all of China. No, it's not all of China. Where is it actually?
What?
Where is the Great China Wall?
It's in China. It's like, it was a wall built to keep the Mongols out, right?
Yeah, but...
So, I assume it has to be somewhere in the north, but I actually don't know.
Did you know that that's a lot of bullshit that people said you can see from the space?
I don't know. It is?
Yes, allegedly.
In what way, then?
Well, you can't see it from the space.
I mean, it makes sense, because it's still just a thin stretch of wall, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess that the same way you can see it as you would see, like, if you would look at, like, there's this small, small river that you like, if you squint your eyes, you know, like, in your satellite up there, you're just like, oh, shit, I see that!
Yeah. All right, by the way, it is, like, in the north of China, so... That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Ever heard of Italian spotting in Macau? Well, this dude started it.
Yeah, that's a local fun activity, spotting Italians.
That's an activity I would like to do.
My favorite game, Spot the Italian. Well,
anything you want to add?
Yes. So, you know, you told the story in Spain. His civil engineering didn't go so great, you know. He had a couple struggles, though. His project in Sevilla got cancelled halfway through, let's say. And I suspect that Henry, or whoever was in charge of England at this point, was feeling the same vibes as in that fateful year in Sevilla. So what happened is they sent them off on the journey. Halfway through, they're like, nah, let's wrap it up. Let's not. So what they do is they just start dismantling the ship on the spot. Much to John's dismay, because it's like, how am I going to get home? So they just start dismantling the ships, and as they have their raw materials nicely bundled up, they just realize, we don't have anything to stand on. We're going to drown. So, all the crew, well, they just drown. Meanwhile, the materials, you know, nicely wrapped up, well done, guys, floats all the way back to Bristol with a nice package. Hey, a letter on top. Dear King, here's your stuff back.
Fucking survival game. What was it? The raft? Where the precipice of the video game is that you're just on the raft and then you get raw materials from the sea. This is that. Oh, shit. Okay. I dropped some bottles.
Oh, you dropped a bottle?
Yes, I dropped a bottle.
You hate to see it.
Oh, my God. Honestly. Or maybe. Yeah, listen out.
Mm-hmm.
Civil engineer, unfulfilled destiny. People don't understand him. People don't get him.
Oh boy.
He was like, fuck y'all. You don't understand my genius? Fuck off. So he actually makes the journey to North America. Right?
Right.
And then he's like, fuck it. We're gonna build something here. So there's actually this magical land somewhere that you have. It's like an El Dorado. You still have to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just bridges.
And he built it, or he wants to find it?
No, he built it. He was like, fuck it, you didn't like my bridge, I'm gonna build 50 of them here. So he just, it's called the bridge park.
Yeah.
It's just bridges.
I'm just gonna build as many bridges as I fucking want.
Exactly. And till this day, it's like a, you know, like a hermit, like an old witch. you stumble through the woods and then you come into this clearing and it's all bridges and this one man, like this one old man just chiseling one final bridge at the end. Just like, this must be perfect. This must be perfect.
I thought you were going to go with the angle that he wanted to prove he's the greatest civil engineer, even though the Spanish wouldn't let him. He's going to build a bridge from Newfoundland to all the way to Bristol.
Maybe that did happen. Maybe he started trying. But then somewhere mid-Atlantic, you're like, oh shit, I forgot to add the ballast. And the ship collapsed.
Oh darn, I forgot to add the load-bearing pillars.
Mid-Atlantic.
It's like a Looney Tunes sketch where they like are walking on the air until they realize that they're walking on the air and then they fall.
No, it's like he's everything, the bridge is holding up, everything's fine, and then like this one bird stands on one of the pillars and the bridge starts to tremble because it's too much weight. Oh gosh darn.
Well, maybe he did start building the bridge and he didn't factor in the, you know, the curve of the earth, because that's also something...
Started building just straight into the water.
Yeah. Maybe he was building his bridge, and because he didn't factor in the curve, he would... Let's check out the map here.
But wouldn't that be even harder to do than just build on the curve?
What? To build in a straight line?
Yeah, because technically, you would, like, from your perspective, you are building in a curve.
Right. Oh, by...
Because for us, imagine, like, if you're building, for example, like a... I don't know, like a road, right?
Yeah.
You are just building across the surface of what you perceive somewhat flat, right?
Right.
You just keep going, and with time it curves because the curvature of the earth. But for you to make actually straight and, like, you know, from point A to B through the curvature, you actually have to start from your perspective into the earth.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's what I... No, I just meant like...
But he was a genius civil engineer. Maybe that was the point.
Yeah, he realized he wanted to do it to make a point.
Yeah, he was like, you dumbass, you're building all the bridges with curves, right? With the curvature. You can just save so many materials just by building the bridge straight through the water.
It was like this theory where if you dig a hole and just keep going until the other side of the earth, you'll end up in China, you know?
Yeah. By the way, I never understood. Everybody in all those cartoons end up in China. It's like China is like the whole other part of the world is just China.
Yeah, I didn't know. They really... They're around, I guess.
Bruh! Makes sense! He was looking for the train route to China, right?
Oh my god. This is civil engineering at its highest level, basically.
He was like, let's dig a hole in the ocean. Oh no.
But then, you know...
I mean, he was a civil engineer. He was like, yeah, there's going to be water. I know of this. But I'm going to make a hole. And from the water that gets sucked up there, we're going to make a sewage system in China.
Beautiful. But as he kept digging, it got a little hot. And then he died from exhaustion.
Well, he kind of like... He didn't calculate correctly because he's a civil engineer. But he didn't calculate, you know... I don't know, like, he's not a biomariner or something.
Right.
So he was just like, let's calculate the depth of this water. He took a rock and jumped off the ship in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, he was going to check for himself.
Yeah. And he just keeps going down and down and down. And like, after half a minute, he's like, oh, fuck, this is deeper than I thought.
Yeah.
And he just kept going and going. And then when he got to the bottom of the ocean, somehow still intact, not dying from the pressure, he was like, oh shit, it's pretty dark up here.
Up here.
And then he was like, he got released the rock. And you know what happens with like the pressure back then if you like release the weight? He shot up back to the surface.
Right.
And he got shot into the space because of the speed he developed.
Oh my god, he was the first astronaut.
This is so stupid, but I just imagine this. These people on the ship, they're like, oh my god, this fucking dude is dumb. But he's like, I'm gonna walk the plank with the rock, right? And they're just like, fucking dumbass. We have to go back to England and tell people this. I mean, this guy was the shit back in the day, right? But then they're like, fine. And then see him jumping off. And then just start, like, you know, taking the time. 1 minute, 2 minutes pass. He's like, well, he's dead. Let's turn the ship around. As they're about to turn, this fucking dude just like, whoo! Just shoots out of the water, flies up into the sky. They're like, what the fuck, Jesus?
Wait, the rest of the crew didn't return either, right?
Well.
Okay, well, because I was going to say, maybe on his way up, he crashed through the ship, causing them to have irreparable damage. Okay,
forget what I said. Like, let's say, fucking walks the plank, goes down with the rock, right? Like, this big brick. Fuck. You made me laugh too much. Goes down with this fucking brick, right? Releases the brick. The guys are waiting there, and then they just hear this at the bottom of the ship. And what happened? He punctured their ship. So their ship went down. To the brig, right? And you just see this guy's head sticking out.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fuck, my stomach hurts. I'm actually on the floor laughing. Holy shit, I have tears.
Well, Rudy.
Oh.
You wanna...
What a great fucking bit for the last episode of the year.
Perfect. What a nice way to wrap it up, huh? All right.
Aye, bruh.
You want to explain the real ending?
I have to calm down. I think we'll have to take a pause.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We're having a great time, huh? We're having a great time.
Why did this make me laugh so much? Oh my god! Oh, it's hot. It's so hot. Oh my fucking god.
Bless you.
I think there's more time for one bit, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's nice to end on that one, but if you have anything else...
I just now imagine all the ways that he could have hit the boat. Like, what if he... what is it called? The very, like, front of the ship where the big pole is just pointing at the...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know what it's called.
Okay, yeah. I imagine. He almost missed the ship, but he did hit it at the very end of that pole. Just like a big bonk.
He hits the pole and the force of, like, the movement flips the ship over.
And they sail back to fucking Bristol because it turned the ship around. Oh my fucking lord. Oh, that was comedy right there. I can't believe that this is the bit where I laugh so much about. Okay, whoo! Whoo, okay. Okay, wait, resolution, right? I'm gonna laugh for the rest of the episode. Okay, for centuries it was not fully known if Kabuto died during the voyage.
This is really funny.
Okay.
Bring it home,
okay.
Rudy. Come on, buddy.
Okay. For centuries it was not fully known if Kabuto died during the voyage. Or returned safely and died shortly after, or maybe even arrived at the Americas and then just lived there.
Okay.
But, as he's a big, big historical figure, a lot of people have researched him, namely a specific historian, Alwyn Ruddock. She researched him for more than, like, I think 25 years, like the era and him specifically.
Uh-huh.
And after years of studying, she organized the Cabot Project in 2009, University of Bristol, and there's a lot of claims and, you know, some historic evidences basically pinpointing to So basically what I'm trying to say, the claim that gained traction but need further proof are that Cabot returned to England in the spring of 1500.
Okay.
But because I guess he'd like nothing really notable happened in his life or something like that, or maybe he just, you know, didn't voyage anywhere else. People just didn't record him anymore. So like, because it was not worth recording. So that's why it's so hard to tell what happened after that.
He just faded into obscurity, basically.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, that's fine. You know, you don't always have to go out like in a big way. It's also nice to just retire.
Yeah. So this might be the first explorer that we get that got a happy ending and a boink on the head. But and his legacy and honors is pretty pretty sizable list if you look, for example, on Wikipedia. Some of which is I don't know, Cabot Tower in Bristol, England, or a 1952 statue of the explorer at Bristol City Hall, or the John Cabot University, United States affiliate university established in 1972 in Rome, Italy.
There you go.
Or again, an or bronze statue in Bristol Harbourside. There's Cabot Squares in London and Montreal. There's Cabot Circus, which is a 2008 shopping mall in Bristol.
Bruh.
And it's named as a result of a citywide poll.
So the people really love him as well.
Yes. So yeah, there's parks and places called, and, you know. Dude's known.
Yes, Mans is known. You know, I actually didn't realize he was such an early explorer. Because I did read a little bit about him, like, way... I think, like, 2 months back, because that's when I already found this guy for the first time, before we put him on the list.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was... That's quite interesting. You know, it's nice to have somebody from the really early explorer era as well.
Yeah. Truly, I wish that... I mean, that's my New Year's resolution. I want to do more, I guess, non-modern explorers.
I mean, what counts as modern?
Modern, let's say, 20th century or, like,
but we,
I don't know, late 19th century.
I think we do a good balance of that so far.
Yeah, that is a good balance. But I personally haven't done many of those, I think. Because you have
I'd have to look back. I'm not sure, actually. But I think most of my explorers are before 1900, before 1800.
Yeah. So you've done a great job, Henry, because you're simply the best. Better than all the rest. All
right. Well, Rude, should we wrap it up?
Well, I don't know. I think we have a couple of minutes to say whatever we want to say and leave it in this year, you know?
All right. I want to say our email.
Can't you, like, I don't know, wish the people Happy New Year?
Hey, people, Happy New Year, huh? Okay, fine. Here's an earnest speech. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's been fun making this. I hope you're still having fun listening. If not, don't let me know. I don't want to hear it. And if yes, send Rudy a message. We'll be plugged later. Hey. Yeah, I don't know. It's fun doing the podcast. I don't know. I don't have that much to say, to be honest. It's just fun. If you're having fun with us, then that's great. And otherwise, I should just leave out the otherwise. If you're having fun with us, that's great. Thank you.
Because we could wish for nothing more.
Well, that's not true, but the sentiment is.
Well, I mean, we're doing this because, yes, we like it and it's fun.
Yeah.
And we are so overjoyed that you also find it fun.
Yes, exactly.
It has been a great honor and great privilege this year to be your host for this incredible journey or journeys that we have gone on.
Yes. And
I'm saying this as if we're just going to not continue. We are going to continue. For people who keep asking me how many episodes we're going to do for this season, we don't know. But when we find out, we'll tell you. So if I haven't told you, that means we'll keep going on and we will see you next week. But there's something... You know, I feel like for this episode, as the last episode, I should do a bit, Henry.
Okay.
I should. Don't you feel like
it? Are you going to sing a song?
Well, I could sing a song, but I don't know about what.
Is this a setup?
Is it?
I guess it is.
I don't know, Henry.
Okay, buddy, just go for it. Just go for it.
No, what would you like to know about me?
Am I supposed to already know something? I have no clue what's going on right now. You're dying?
Yes, this is coming out. I have cancer. No. Okay. As Henry's not feeding into the bit...
Okay, can I just say I have no clue what's going on, so I feel like I'm not responsible for this.
It's been known for listeners at home, maybe you don't get this, but it's been known in my friends group that everybody, you know, everybody, if you're in your friends, everybody has a specific bit, let's put it that way, right? Mine's Italians, Henry's being annoying, some of us like fucking dogs, some of us are just dumbasses.
Okay. The big four.
The big four, yes. But one more bit that my friends have against me is always that apparently, allegedly, I hate love, right? Which is not true.
Right.
You're not going to say anything to that? Because you usually have a lot to say about that.
Well, I want to listen, hear where this is going.
I see, I see. So I thought maybe I could just explain my point of view, why I don't believe in love, because I guess you would call it my standards. I just, you know... I have standards, is the problem.
Oh, boo!
So it's easier to not, you know, deal with it.
this is your explanation. You have standards. That's it.
Yeah, and
this is so sad.
I can tell you a bit. No. Listen. I can tell you a bit more. Would you like to hear a good abbreviation of my standards?
Okay, buddy, you're really milking this. So go ahead.
All right, but I will need audience support later on.
Well, you want me to clap?
Yes, at some point, because I just need your support.
Oh, just afterwards.
Manly man. Yes.
Okay. Good luck.
So, if somebody, for example, throughout the day asks me, like, Sururi, so many boys must like you, right? But you don't keep any of them, right? So, like, well, what's happening? And I'm like, okay, sit down and listen. Some boys chase me and some boys praise me. I think they're all right. If they gonna give me a proper show, then I just walk away. I mean, why stay? They can scoff and they can curse, but they can't see the light.
No way!
Cause the boy who's always extra is always Mr. Right. Cause we are living in a theatrical world, and I am a dramatic man. You know that we are living in a bombastic world, and I am a chromatic boy. But what about romance? Oh, bitch, please. Listen up. Some boys romance and some boys bromance, that's all fine with me. If they can't catch my interest, then I have to let them be. Yeah, some boys wink and some have a kink, but I don't let them play.
No way.
Only boys who promise adventures makes my rainy day. Cause they are living in a colorful world, and I am a handful of a boy. Get it? Yes. We are living in a hectic world, and I am an eccentric man. You know that we are living in a theatrical world, and I am a theatrical boy. Cause everybody's living in a crazy world, and I am a daisy boy.
All right, buddy. Well done. I like the...
And has that explained everything that you need to know?
I don't know.
I did all this and it didn't.
No, it didn't. I was focusing on listening to the singing, buddy. I wasn't listening to the message.
And isn't that the most vagabond dilemma way to end this episode? Of not getting anywhere.
Truly, truly.
After a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Well... I think it's time to say adieu for this year. We really hope to see you next year. I already did my speech. I'm actually standing up right now, so imagine me looking at you and wishing you happy new year. All the love and all your resolutions, if you want them. I see them to be redundant, but
yes,
that's up to you.
Just to quickly wrap it up, then if you want to send us an email, send us at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com, you know.
If only just to wish Happy Christmas or Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's also fine. You know, whatever you want to say. If you want to go on a more personal note, then Rudy,
I will be glad to welcome you to my Instagram, which is 3 zeros, RUDYS 3 zeros. So my name in the middle of 3 zeros on both ends. I am waiting.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a beautiful new year, and we'll see you soon, I guess.
Pop champagne! Pop champagne! Pop champagne! Actually, you know what, Henry? Cheers to that, huh?
Cheers to that.
There we go.
All right.
Bye!
Bye!